Welcome to the porch, where, as the saying goes, we sit long, preferably with a companion, talk much or little, depending on the mood, and laugh often. It's where we listen to the birds in the morning and the crickets at night. It's where we shoot the breeze, solve world problems, make music, and tell the occasional tall tale. Or we sometimes just sit for a spell and find rest for the soul. Here at the Collins Home, we just call it porching.
Lazy afternoon, here in my heart, I know that it's true.
It's been a busy couple days, and I'm looking forward to some porch therapy with you. I'm Pam, also known as the Bee Lady, and today I've been thinking about some spine-tingling, heart-racing, thrill-inducing joy of the season that started early this spring, and it's just wrapping up now. Can you guess what it is? I'll give you a clue. What do these words have in common? Garage, rummage, yard, estate,
can
sail,
carry me through good times and hard. My spirit's renewed from
this. Step aside, you big game hunters. You think you've experienced the thrill of the hunt? Lions, bears, and 12-point bucks. Ha! Who says big game must only be found in the deep woods or African wilderness? You'll never know the heart-racing excitement until you meet a woman walking resolutely up a driveway during the city-wide garage sales. Folks, it's not a sport for the faint of heart. An apple corer, a teapot, blue jeans, a new cookbook. What is more exciting than a bargain? Looking around my living room, I spy a small portable ironing board, nearly brand new, that I picked up for $3 at an estate sale last year, and I use it nearly every day, pressing seams in my little quilted hearts project and remembering the books, toys, and back-to-school clothes I found for my young grandchildren. I've noticed as they age that the choices become fewer, but oh, the joy when we find a pair of soccer shoes just the right size for a fraction of what they would have cost at the store. And the satisfaction I experience every time I sit in a favorite chair I picked up for $10 years ago. Last summer, my twin granddaughters went garage sailing with me. I gave them each five $1 bills. And oh, the treasures they found. A pair of adorable shoes, two sizes too big, and which she's almost grown into now, but she wears anyway. And a wrestling trophy, yes. A trophy because, well, just because she always wanted a trophy. A pretty ring and, oh, a pair of earrings, a babysitter's club book, a stuffed animal, and bags filled with goodies that brought them as much joy as their birthday Stanley water bottles, which cost several times more. Mostly It was the joy of walking up to an entire garage and driveway filled with wonderful items, all nicely organized and laid out for us. And the knowledge that they could buy any number of those items and still have money left over. Well, finally, they were down to the last quarter. And then there it was. A cute little unicorn coin purse with a price tag of 25 cents. Score! Now, successfully shopping at rummage sales is, of course, a learned skill. Never let on how excited you are about a particular item. Maybe there's a chance they'll come down just a bit. And get there early, because the best deals will be gone if you take too long with your morning coffee. Empty the trunk ahead of time and bring plenty of cash. My sister and I were pregnant simultaneously 3 times. Us two mamas-to-be carpooled to more garage sales and waddled up more driveways than we could count. Our children grew up on treasures, clothes, toys, and books found at these garage sale buffets. Our favorite was a family with twins a year or two older than ours that we returned to for several years. I was sure I was expecting a boy, and she was equally sure she was expecting a girl. And when it turned out to be the opposite, we simply swapped the bargain clothing, and back and forth, and back and forth, as the next babies were born. At the end, we weren't really sure which was originally whose. In fact, one red winter snowsuit went through at least 5 of our combined kids. And it's still in my storage tub because I just can't bear to part with it. But the rest all went into our own garage sales years later, continuing the cycle of exchanging quarters and dollars for treasures, meeting neighbors, and celebrating the joy of the hunt. Let me tell you about the time I learned the finer points of going picking from Ruby. I was pretty wet behind the ears then, not married yet, no kids, and renting a room in Virginia from this memorable woman. She was an antique dealer originally from South Carolina, or South Carolina, as she would say. The ultimate hunter. Ruby raised the quest for bargains to a whole new level. We woke at the crack of dawn, and I soon found myself assembled in front of a closed garage with a gaggle of other pickers. The door opened promptly at 8 o'clock, and we swarmed inside. "Pam," she whispered. I never knew my name was a 2-syllable word until I lived in the South. "Pam, just pick up anything that looks good and hang on to it." Well, after a frenzied elbowing competition, we walked out with a few items she dickered down to a price she was satisfied with. I found a 10-cent cigar box for myself. And then we headed over to an old farmhouse and followed the owner up dusty stairs into an attic filled with junk I wouldn't have given a dime for. With an eagle eye, she quickly pawed through its contents, offering $5 for this and $20 for that, hemming and hawing as though it pained her to pay anything for this old stuff. She finally handed over the cash, and the man helped her load it into her car. And then, once the doors closed and we were out of earshot, she gave a whoop. That woman yeehawed all the way home over the great deals she'd gotten. Frankly, they didn't strike me as particularly valuable in any way, shape, or form. Well, she brought her treasures into the garage, which smelt of turpentine and linseed oil. She had to park outside because it was filled with other trophies in various stages of restoration. Once she stripped all that old crusty paint off and sanded and stained them, those pieces revealed themselves for the beautiful works of art they really were, underneath years of abuse. Maybe a life lesson here. Her home was a live-in antique store with flea market finds displayed throughout, preserved with the art and skill of a taxidermist. Visitors regularly wandered through, admiring this and that, and then walking out with various treasures. And in exchange, I knew, for considerably more greenbacks than she'd parted with in acquiring them. I'd come home to discover that the lovely sitting room couch was gone, and in its place was a brown love seat, which shortly thereafter was replaced by another something or other, always leaving her with a bit more cash, which she'd add to the wad she'd pulled out on the next pickin' excursion. I still have an old trunk and a couple bedstands that I bought from her, and if they weren't antiques then, they certainly are now, 50 years later. She never passed up an opportunity to buy low and sell high. Never clinging to one thing when letting go made room for something even better. I'll admit it. Living with Ruby did provide me with a few new skills beyond cooking up okra and ham hocks. Which brings me back to the thrill of the hunt, citywide garage sales. It's the anticipation, studying the map, planning the route, timing it just right to hit the one with the toddler clothes, the fabric, or the antique collectibles before someone else scoops them up. It is a most serious business. Wise people always carry cash in their wallet because you never know when you'll be driving along and spot the homemade sign on some random street corner. Step on the brake, make a U-turn if necessary, and follow the twisting trail down endless side streets until you reach a driveway lined with toys, tables, and baby strollers. Today, I'm on a quest for boys' 2T clothing, books, and size 3 soccer shoes. And look, a teapot! Shop until you drop, or run out of cash, or there's no more room in the trunk and the kids are holding bags on their laps, squeezed beside a dining room chair in the back seat. Okay, we'll head home now. No, wait! There's another one! Stop the car! All that matters is the direction of the arrow as we stalk the town for the prize. Face it, no hunter in Africa tracks their prey with more grit and determination than a woman with a list in her head and cash in her pocket. Well, it's quiet here again tonight. We're just days away from the citywide garage sales here in town, and I've got my list written down now because with 8 young grandkids, there's just too many kids' clothing and shoe sizes to keep track of in my head now. I need to take advantage now because it will be getting too cold soon for those random opportunities to swap coins for treasures as we comment on the weather and wish each other a good day. Happens every fall. The barely legible sale signs slowly disappear, replaced by open house or high school football team booster signs propped up on snow piles on street corners. I was thinking about some great stories I'm itching to tell. Mostly all true, but I'll save them for another time. But I hope you join me then. Fill a glass with your favorite beverage. Grab a chair. Don't forget the lumbar support. Put your feet up and come porch with me. Until we meet again, it's Pam Collins from the porch, where memories are made and worries are few. My hammock outside in the breeze, lazy afternoon. Here in my heart, I know that it's true. Good things in life, things we choose like this, lazy. Lazy afternoon. Today can carry me through good times and hard. My spirit's renewed from this lazy, lazy afternoon.